Welcome to Burr News Current Affairs Podcast with Jeremy Deacon. Listen at your leisure on www.burrnews.com.
Good morning. I'm joined today by Mary Ellen Koenig, the US Consul General for Bermuda. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thank you for sparing some time. Just very briefly, a lot of people probably don't know, but can you explain your role?
Sure, absolutely. Well, I'm honored actually to have the role. I represent the United States, the government and the people, to the people of Bermuda and to the government of Bermuda. So it's an honor to have to be assigned to serve that role. So around the world we have ambassadors and we have consul generals depending on the size of the missions and all. So I'm the consul general here and am able to work on our bilateral relationship between the Bermuda and the United States. So it's quite interesting and a lot of fun, I have to say.
A lot of fun, good.
It is.
I was reading your bio. You're well-traveled. Pretoria, Switzerland, Berlin, Ireland, Northern Ireland, Now Bermuda. How does Bermuda compare to all those places? How is your work different?
Well, the work is different depending on the role that you play. So when you're assigned to a place, you have a specific role to play. So here I am chief of mission. I'm in charge of our mission here in Bermuda. So it's a different role than what I've played previously, where I've been cultural attaché or been press attaché for different embassies, or mostly embassies, frankly, is where I've worked. Yeah, it's quite different. I came from Russia, was my last post,
yeah.
Moscow. And so I was coming from the largest country in the world with 11 time zones. And I was a cultural attaché there, which was a very public role. And coming to Bermuda, 22 square miles, and a different role for me, but again, a very public role. So there's some similarities.
You mentioned Russia, and you said, I think you were quoted at the time, you're saying, I think the challenges are going to be very different. Have there been, what kind of challenges have you seen here, have you faced here?
Here in Bermuda?
Yeah.
You know, the things that come up are small issues that have to be resolved. So there are things that I can, and I have to say, in terms of our relationship with the government, they're very accessible. They're very generous with their time. So when something comes up, we are able to get in and talk about it and try to figure out what the resolution is. It's very amicable. And I think that sort of, it really goes back to the relationship between Bermuda and the United States. It's 400 years of history. Mm. It's all the connections, economic ties, the family ties, educational ties. There's so much that binds us. So in fact, I'd have to say that from my 25 years doing this, I would say that this is probably the place where we have the warmest where there is the warmest relationship between the host country here in Bermuda and the United States.
So how closely do you work with the government, and what kind of things do you work with on, I should say?
Very well, different issues that come up. For instance, driver's license issue. We've talked about that. I'm trying to think of other things that we've had meetings about. Immigration issues that come up that we have to work on, passport issues. So there are various things. We have our Customs and Border Patrol here, so there are issues with that. There are lots of different things, military-to-military relationships. The U.S. military uses the airport quite a bit, so there are things that come up with that. Certainly, we've got the NASA has a mobile tracking station on Cooper's Island, so there's some work there. And in terms of last year, we extended the agreement between Bermuda and the United States to allow that partnership to continue. So there are sort of things that you wouldn't necessarily know about. I mean, they're not big deal things, but they're things that we are able to talk about and resolve and make sure we're all on the same page and moving forward together.
You mentioned the driving license issue. I thought that was a UK issue.
Not
more
really.
Than else. Can
no,
you
no, it's not. It came up really out of nowhere.
Yeah. I think some Bermudians were suddenly turned away, couldn't hire a car in Boston,
exactly.
Wasn't in.
We were all surprised and taken aback, and what does that all mean? And in unraveling it, it became pretty clear to me what was going on. And the fact is that Bermuda was never a signatory to the international agreements that govern reciprocal driving rights. So, and I don't know the history behind that. I'm not sure why that is the case, because if you look under, for instance, the UN Treaty on Driving Privileges, you'll see the UK is on there, and you'll see, like, Cayman is on there, and a couple other places, but Bermuda is not. So I think what happened is in Massachusetts, they were tightening up their regulations and all, and they realized that Bermuda was not a signatory, which is what governs our right to drive anywhere in the world. And I know I was surprised when I got to Bermuda and they didn't recognize my U.S. driver's license. It's the first place in the world that's happened, because typically when you go, it's recognized and you're able to rent a car, you're able to drive. So anyway, we figured out what the problem was, and I know that the government's looking at that and trying to resolve it.
You've not heard any more whether it's been resolved. Last I read, I think they're still talking to the UK government.
It has not been resolved. I know that. I think we'll hear about it when it's resolved. But I know they're looking at the possibility of becoming a signatory and what that does for Bermuda. I think they have to look at all the implications of that.
Indeed. On a kind of typical day, how many people, American citizens, would you generally help, do you think, at your main offices? And what kind of issues?
Depends. We have a very busy consular staff, and they're dealing with American citizen services on a daily basis. Well, not daily, but they're obviously servicing people who live in Bermuda, so there are American citizens who need to get their children passport, a new birth, for instance, or somebody who needs to register with Social Security. So there are those sort of citizen services that we do on a regular basis. But we're also dealing with the influx of American tourists, and obviously that's a big deal here in Bermuda, coming by cruise ships, coming by airplane. So we will have deaths occasionally, which we have to deal with the officials on, working out that and working with the families and informing them how to deal with that. Occasionally we'll have arrests that we'll, find out about. So those kind of issues, Americans who are in trouble here will turn to us and ask for assistance.
Are there any particular issues that crop up time again, or are they different?
Not difficult issues. Again, we resolve them pretty easily with the government. Deaths are probably the hardest one to deal with, because you're responsible for informing the families and then working through getting them here and helping repatriate the remains, which is always a difficult situation.
Now, of course, a week today, the America's Cup. Yeah. Have you had a role to play in that at all?
We've been involved just on discussions on the security front. So we've had military people in just to give some thoughts and some guidance, some suggestions. The government and government house have been working very closely to prepare for that. So our role has really been in terms of a support. We've done a number of these large events, obviously, in the U.S., and we have people who are experienced in these large kind of events.
So there's been security advisors come down from the States?
A couple have come down, and they've been part of sort of roundtable discussions, because the UK officials have been in for these discussions. Okay. So they've been some liaison with
this
that.
This is more lending their expertise and anything else.
Just talk, yeah, exactly. It's been an advisory role, and not even a formal one, pretty informal.
Because there's going to be an influx of very rich people, very rich Americans, lots of American tourists. You're happy with all the security measures?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be a fabulous event, and I know they've taken a lot of precautions and just trying to look at the environment and make sure that they, you never know until you get into a situation what you have to do, but as long as you're sort of looking out and being proactive, do we have this ready, do we have this ready, then you can respond with all your resources, and I think they're very prepared.
Mission, I suppose, gearing up for the America's Cup?
We're anticipating, because of the influx of American citizens, that we expect to be very busy with American citizen services. So we've made sure we have plenty of passports for passport renewals when they're lost or thrown overboard or whatever happens. So we're expecting to have more citizen services being available. We also know that the Coast Guard's going to be around in the region, and that will be helpful. We'll have they will be landing, taking a port call in St. George's at some point during the Cup. So,
Is that a normal patrol, or is that?
They're coming a little bit closer. It's normal patrol in the Eastern Seaboard, but they're moving a little bit closer to Bermuda, so they'll be around. If there's any need for assistance, we'll have some assistance available.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah. That's part of that sort of planning and trying to think ahead and be proactive and making sure you've got all your plans in place.
There is one issue I want to touch on. It's well before your time. But the Uyghurs.
Yeah.
As far as the U.S. is concerned now, have the U.S. washed its hands of the Uyghurs completely? Is it just now a Bermudian-UK issue?
I wouldn't say we've washed our hands. We remain interested in seeing it resolved. But I know that it's not resolved yet. Mm. It really is a matter of getting the proper paperwork done, and that does rest with the UK government. So we
remain. Is there
any
chance that they'd be allowed into the US at all?
I don't think so. I don't know. But it's really a matter of them getting the travel documents they need to be able to leave Bermuda, and that totally rests with the UK government.
But are you involved in the talks with those?
Not really. I mean, I'm aware of the issue, and we're not involved. It really is a matter. It's an internal matter for the UK at this point.
Okay. And then the other thing that, of course, is particularly relevant to Bavarians is a stop list.
Mm-hmm.
You were quoted, I think, when you came here, so there's very little wriggle room, I think is the phrase you used. If you committed a crime in Bermuda, is that it? You're just on the stop list? There's nothing else you can do?
We don't use the word stop list because
it's vernacular.
Yes, it is vernacular. So when somebody, and this is a worldwide policy, when somebody runs afoul of crime in their country or in the U.S., that makes them ineligible to travel to the U.S. without getting a waiver of that ineligibility. So, yes, if somebody is convicted of a crime here in Bermuda, that does make them ineligible. The good news is that there is a process for overcoming that ineligibility, and it takes some time, and it takes showing that you have, you know, turned away from whatever it was that was problematic in the past, whether it was drug use or, you know, whatever the crime was. If you have shown that you have moved beyond that period of your life and you really are, you're established, you've got a great job, you've got your family, there is a good chance that you'll get off the stop list
at
some point.
That's quite a long process, isn't it?
It's a long process. It's not going to happen, somebody's convicted of a crime, and, oh, next year I'm going to go to the U.S. I mean, it takes... You have to be able to prove your eligibility to a visa officer and actually to the CBP officers at the port of entry that you are eligible, that you're eligible to enter the U.S. So that's it. You know, Bermuda, we have a really special relationship with Bermuda, and Bermuda is one of only two countries, Canada and Bermuda, that can travel to the U.S. without visas or without going through some of the other programs we have. So it's a special relationship, and it's a special privilege. But that being said, this is U.S. immigration law that applies to the whole world, and when someone commits a crime in their country, they have to overcome that ineligibility to travel.
Because, of course, it's more difficult for Bermudians because they have to fly.
They have to fly. Exactly. So, but I know that the bulk of people who come in to have these issues get a waiver. The bulk of them are given waivers.
I was going to say, they can apply for waivers, can't they? I mean, what kind of special circumstances would entail a waiver?
Well, once you've really turned away from whatever it was the troubles in your past, you can apply for, people maintain a waiver. They had trouble. People do stupid things in their youth, right? I mean, that happens. You make some mistakes. Okay, we understand that. But there is a period in your life where you really are established citizens and you're not doing drugs and you're not. So you apply for a waiver and you can maintain that waiver for the rest of your life. You have to come in and apply for it periodically. But people do who have had trouble with the law in the past are able to overcome that.
But that's at the end of quite a long process. I mean, if I was convicted of a drug offense yesterday, and I had to travel to the States for an emergency tomorrow, is there any way of getting away?
If it's a humanitarian case, we could possibly look at that. If it's a matter of illness, if you just want to go to Disneyland, no, it's not going to happen. But we are able to look at some specific cases if they're humanitarian issues involved. So we have a little bit of wiggle room, not a lot, but there is a little bit. And it'd have to be pretty compelling.
Your main focus here is obviously looking after the interests of U.S. citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because there was an instance, your predecessor, and highlighted an issue with greaseballs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think, I'm right enough in saying that it caused quite a lot of angst.
I heard.
It's pink beaches, tourism, suddenly greaseballs.
Sure.
Is the overriding job for you to protect and warn U.S. citizens, regardless of what the impact might be on the locality?
Yes, it is. I mean, that is our number one job. So, if there's an impact, that that is our job. So that was what drove him, I know, to make those decisions. But that's one of those cases that when I arrived, I had to educate myself, had to learn a little bit more about the issue. I'm not a scientist, so I went back to the EPA to ask for guidance, what we would give in the U.S. and what we would use, and actually drew them into the discussion as well. And then that was one of those issues. I met frequently with the Minister of Environment at the time, and we had good discussions about what they do, and I educated myself on the procedures here in Bermuda and talked to the EPA and had them look at statistics for us. So I was able to make a judgment at a certain point. It took about 6 months of discussions and making sure I understood what the issues were before we decided to take down that warning from our webpage.
Yeah. But there'd be no hesitation in doing it again?
No, if it was something that we felt was really endangering in American lives, what we talked about was really, it's not the fact that these things happened, because they still happen. I mean, there are greaseball incidents in Bermuda.
Yeah.
We know that.
Yeah.
There's garbage that comes up. We know that. But it's, for me, it's a fact that they're monitoring the situation. And what's most important is that there's a system in place to warn people, not just American citizens, but Bermudians as well. If the water is unsafe, and they've had several days of testing that shows the water's not safe, there is a protocol that they would put out warnings publicly to say, we have found unsafe bathing water. So luckily, that doesn't happen. I mean, these situations are that the wind comes in one way and goes out the other way. So it's a very fluid system.
But I was thinking more in terms of if something else happened, not necessarily greaseballs, Zika virus.
Yeah, absolutely.
You would have no hesitation.
No hesitation, because our job is really here to make sure Americans, when they're traveling abroad, that they know what they're going to encounter.
Presumably you do that in consultation with the government.
Sometimes not. It depends what the issue is. I mean, if we feel like we have to put out a warning, we have what we call a double standard. So if we would have any situation within the consulate, that we'd be warning our own staff people about a situation or anything, if we're talking to them to take precautions, we are obligated under U.S. law to make sure that's public information. So if there's any situation that we would say, that's something to think about or keep this in mind, then we are obligated to inform the American public about that as well.
Now, I know one of the roles you do here is working very closely in the community.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of things have you done? What kind of things do you want to do? And why, I suppose, as well?
Well, I think a lot of people, I mean, I think consul generals bring their own personal passions into the job and what they're interested in doing. And my background has been in public diplomacy, and that's talking about people-to-people engagement and information sharing and that sort of thing, public information sharing. So we've been very interested in issues like entrepreneurship here in Bermuda. It's something we feel the United States does very well. It's a common area of interest. It's something that we can explore together.
When you say entrepreneurship, is that promoting entrepreneurs?
Absolutely, giving them the tools that they need, giving them, wanting to see entrepreneurship rise and people going into different businesses being successful. So we have partnered with a number of different groups, including the Chamber of Commerce and the BEDC, on doing programs aimed at entrepreneurs. Young entrepreneurs, entrepreneurs more experienced, so we've done a number of programs with them. To talk, bringing American speakers. Sometimes we do them virtually. We'll bring an American speaker in by virtual and on whatever the topic is. And we have somebody actually coming in July that we did a virtual program with, and he's coming in July, and we'll be meeting with Bermuda entrepreneurs to talk about different issues, tech issues, and how you promote yourself, that sort of thing. So that's an area of common interest. We were able to nominate a young Bermudian entrepreneur to send to the Global Summit on Entrepreneurship last summer, which was exciting for him and his company. And
so you're quite hands-on in the community.
We absolutely, and we work with other groups as well. This past year, we sent a group of people to look at workforce development on one of our programs, and that's an issue. Again, it's of common interest to everybody. The U.S. has a great interest in workforce development, and Bermuda is working very hard at workforce development. So we had a delegation of 5 people, and they went to look at American, what's going on, and they're basically meeting with their American peers. These are experts in their field who are meeting with their American peers to talk about issues and how they deal with the programs, what's successful, what works, what doesn't work.
Is this your personal thing, or is this something that there's a mission of the consul's work here?
Well, it's all part of, in my mind, it's all part of public diplomacy and talking about, and again, fostering mutual understanding, fostering dialogue, finding issues of common interest, and getting to talk to each other. From my I see these as two-way streets. I mean, I hope that participants from Bermuda get a lot out of these, see the value in the exchanges, but I also know that Americans get a lot of value out of them. We're bringing international groups and, again, experts in their fields to American cities, and they can have discussions about these issues, and it allows Americans to learn a little bit more about the world as well. So I see exchange programs very much as two-way streets.
Yeah. Just final question, how long do you think you'll be here for? Have you any idea?
I actually know exactly how long I'll be here for. Yeah, my tour will end next year.
Really?
Yes, and it's been gone. It's a 3-year tour, and it goes very quickly. I've already been here 20 months, and I can't believe how fast it's gone.
Any idea where you'll be going after?
I actually do know. I'll be retiring next year.
Oh,
we have mandatory retirement at a certain age, and I will hit it next year, and we'll sail off into the sunset, I suppose.
On that note, thank you very much for sparing some time. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's been fun.
Thank you for tuning in to Burr News Current Affairs Podcast with Jeremy Deacon. Listen at your leisure on www.burrnews.com, your 24/7 Bermuda news source.